Caroline, thank you so much. It's always such a joy to be with this community. Thank you so much for saying hello from all over. It's deeply heartwarming to see your names come through and to feel the global sense of community. Many of us have sanghas in our home towns. And to touch into global community seems so important during these times. So I'm very glad to be here. I follow deep call when it comes to choosing topics for the times that I'm invited to teach. And it's striking to me that before this particular invitation, when the invitation came, I kept having the sense, leaning into the sense, that it would be important to keep today very broad, very open, very a topic that would have the capacity to meet the moment. It can be tricky for me sometimes to put a topic far in advance if the topic's too specific, because I like to leave room for what's alive now. And I'm very glad I did that with this topic based on the passing of Thich Nhat Hanh. So I wanted to acknowledge that today is going to be dedicated to Thich Nhat Hanh, to Thich Nhat Hanh's life of service, to the teachings that he offered, to his compassion, his love, his engaged Buddhism, which has made a mark on so many of our hearts. So again, thank you so much for saying hello on the side. Before we move into meditation, and I will begin the meditation with a reading from Thich Nhat Hanh. Before we begin the meditation, I'd like to invite you, since you're already writing in the sidebar, to pause and reflect for a moment on the impact Thich Nhat Hanh's teachings may have had on your life. And if you're not familiar with Thich Nhat Hanh, no worries at all. This isn't a private club. This might be your first foray into a practice session of this kind. If that is the case, I do encourage you to learn more about this brilliant sage. And I've got a link I'm going to drop in to the chat here for folks. So this is where you can read a little more in this moment if you're not familiar with Thich Nhat Hanh. So pause for a moment, friends, if you would. I want to invite you to sit with to be present to anything that arises when you reflect upon the life of Thich Nhat Hanh. You may be reading about his life right now for the first time. And if that's the case, just be present to what arises for you. as you read a little bit about Thich Nhat Hanh's life. And then if you would, please jot something in the sidebar in the chat, if you feel moved to, about what arises when you reflect on the life of this great sage, who, for those who are not familiar with Thich Nhat Hanh, might not have realized that he just passed quite recently. Perhaps that was obvious in how I framed today's session, but just to be clear. So JD, the heart of the Buddhist teachings is a great start. Lovely, thank you. They open my heart to many possibilities of empathy and compassion. Thich Nhat Hanh taught me how to live in all aspects of life. Yes, such a gift that Thich Nhat Hanh left nothing out. Every opportunity was an opportunity for practice. These teachings, simple yet profound. Eleanor, I find it sad but not sad that in his teaching, it included so much about passing and continuation and peace and interbeing, which bring a lot of comfort. Joe, the emphasis he placed, my chat bar just scrolled, so pardon me. The emphasis he placed on walking, students who studied with him, who are now offering the teachings. Yes, Marita, resilience, kindness. Barbara, I did not have the privilege to meet him, but his writings on our interconnectedness with the earth and how engagement can arise out of practice is lighting my own path at the moment. Sublime gentleness. Brenda, what a lovely way to speak to that. Sublime gentleness. Annette, this is my in-breath. This is my out-breath. Yes, I love how many mantras, how many ways to connect our experience with the breath. Thich Nhat Hanh offered his deep recognition that the breath is how we're integrating with the universe moment by moment. Mindful walking, joyful simplicity, humbleness, accessibility, deep wisdom, deep truth, love. Allison, I have arrived. I have arrived. I have arrived home in the present moment. And I appreciate that you brought that in, Allison, because originally today's theme, which really still is the theme, is what can we rely on? And today we're going to be focusing on that home that you just referred to. Such simplicity, such depth. Leslie, the gift of engaged Buddhism. Hear, hear. His teachings, experiences, allowing grace and openness to surface. Scrolling back. Allowing grace and openness to surface when otherwise experiences the opposite during life circumstances, sense of humility and community that can flourish and heal, impacting me and my work quite meaningfully. The invitation to concentrate on what's not wrong in the world today. Helena, thank you for naming that. I recently saw a teaching from Thich Nhat Hanh, which he was focusing on how to be with those who are dying. And he offered great encouragement around, especially if someone's in a coma, speaking to the person about the happiness of their life, about things that they love, about ways that they experienced connection and interconnection. Always reminding of truth while not ignoring what's happening on the relative plane of our reality. The miracle of mindfulness, very influential in my work as a mindfulness teacher, so accessible. Yes, Thich Nhat Hanh's a master of accessibility. Patricia, I know this poem. I encourage everyone to look it up. His poem about the sea captain and the girl that threw herself off the boat has continually challenged my way of seeing the world every time I come across it. Isabel, love and joy. Tilly, daily commitment to life every day. I have arrived. I am at home. The clouds does not die. It may become a cup of tea. Beautiful, Joe. Patricia, interbeing. Stephanie, I loved the poetry in his teachings. The images stayed with me. Leslie, and the privilege of taking the precepts from him and being given a Dharma name, clear joy at the source. Michelle, gentleness and wisdom. Allison, when washing the dishes. Yes, wash the dishes. Nico, deep looking into the truth of reality, seeing universal self and how I may touch it. Yes, Nico, how we are it. These teachings and way of living blew my heart wide open. I have never felt so enveloped in the essence of love and oneness, the simplicity of oneness and interconnectedness of all things at all times. I could go on and on. He helped me see for the first time that it's possible to be with anger and hard emotions. One can approach them as a mother does a crying child with care, total attentiveness. Transformation is allowed. Aaron, the wisdom within emotion. By the way, friends, I'm so glad this is being recorded because I hope it can be felt that your sentiments are a Dharma talk in and of itself. What you're sharing, where it arises from, how you're expressing it to the community. This is collective wisdom. Yes, sparked by this great Zen master. But arising in you, arising in this we. No separation. He still is teaching and will continue. Since then, I practice to be the calmest person on the boat. Victoria, learning to eat slowly. I heard someone describe him as walking poetry. Yangchen, he will live in my breath and in my walking meditation as I read that requested he. I love his emphasis on the present moment, the simplicity, the ever-present beauty surrounding us at all times, even in the midst of the most difficult times, the wonder of the breath in and out the sky. I love his teachings on continuity and transformation, the teachings on how we can heal our past generations' hurt and pain through our attentiveness in the present moment. And yes, Eleanor, thank you. The poem referred to, Call Me By My True Names. All right, friends, thank you so much. We shall sit now with all of those words, with all of that lovely sentiment. We shall sit. Bring great loving gentleness to your meditation today. Release any temptation for today to focus on discipline. We're coming home together today. That is our theme. That is our focus. That is what we can rely on. As mentioned, starting this sit with contemplation on no coming and no going by Thich Nhat Hanh. This body is not me. I am not limited by this body. I am life without boundaries. I have never been born, and I have never died. Look at the ocean and the sky filled with stars. Manifestations from my wondrous true mind. Since before time, I have been free. Birth and death are only doors through which we pass. Sacred thresholds on our journey. Birth and death are a game of hide and seek. So laugh with me. Hold my hand. Let us say goodbye say goodbye to meet again soon. We meet today. We will meet again tomorrow. We will meet at the source every moment. We meet each other in all forms of life. Friends, visualize the sea for a moment. On the surface of the sea, boats, storms, comings and goings, ripples, currents, waves. Rain making contact, sunshine, dolphins playing right at the surface of the water. Leaping without legs. Flying through the air, diving back in. Allow yourself to touch, feel, and know the beauty. Shining within this image. And then gently, quietly, lovingly, allow the attention to rest and sink. Releasing away from the surface of the sea. Dropping down into stillness. Darker waters quieter. Waters unaffected by the various movements on the surface of the sea. While even in the depths of the sea, there are comings and goings. Surrender the attention now to what doesn't come and go. This aware stillness. Yes, from here you can be aware of what's moving about on the surface, or even through the different levels of the different depths of the sea. So just to spell this out one step further, we can be aware of the thoughts, we can be aware of sensations, we can be aware of emotions that are arising. And from aware stillness, we can be aware of being aware. Our greatest refuge. Our divine, true nature. If the attention floats up to the surface and you find yourself caught in story or swept in emotion, It's not bad, it's not wrong, no need for judgment. Simply return with joy in the heart, the way you'd return to the arms of a beloved. Return home. Home to presence. Home to the sweetness of being. Home to being aware of being aware. Home to love. I'm going to share Thich Nhat Hanh's words that I began the meditation with one more time, and then the remainder of this sit will be in silence. This body is not me. I am not limited by this body. I am life without boundaries. I have never been born, and I have never died. Look at the ocean and the sky filled with stars, manifestations from my wondrous true mind. Since before time, I have been free. Birth and death are only doors through which we pass, sacred thresholds on our journey. Birth and death are a game of hide and seek. So laugh with me, hold my hand, let us say goodbye to meet again soon. We meet today. We will meet again tomorrow. We will meet at the source every moment. We meet each other in all forms of life. friends, thank you. If you'd like to have a copy of what I read today, you can just Google, "This body is not me. I am not limited by this body," and it pops right up. Again, for those who might have joined us mid-meditation, today is dedicated to the teachings of our beloved Zen master, Thich Nhat Hanh. I say "our" because it seems so clear to me that that is a word that he would have wanted us to use. At least I project that. So before I say too much more, I was reminded before this call that Sangha Live really appreciates it when teachers take a moment to pause and give a reminder about Dana. And I very much would like to do that because I love this platform, this group of people who gather to make these teachings happen, as many of you know. I talk about how much I love Sangha Live, I think, every time I'm here. And it's so, so heartfelt for me. So please be as generous as you possibly can. It's deeply appreciated. So I wanted to share with you the original little blurb I mentioned at the beginning of this call, that I had an intuition that it would be important to keep today's topic quite open. The last time I was here, I focused on blamelessness, and it was a little bit more specific based on what I was hearing and feeling in my own community, those that I work with directly. And again, today it felt so important for the theme to be quite open. In these times of strain, times that can feel quite chaotic and stressful, one might think that what we can count on is hardship. But what if we could count on something that could actually transform our experience of hardship? What if through our practices we stabilized in our experience of counting on presence? What if we stabilized in our capacity to be aware of being aware? This is the coming home that I believe Thich Nhat Hanh is referring to. What if we stabilized in what's untarnishable, unbreakable, and ever-present? The thing we can most fully count on is not a thing. So friends, thank you. With that, I wanted to open today up. You may wish to ask about something that you got present to in that meditation. You may wish to share an insight. You may wish to share with your voice, not just words on the side, an appreciation for Thich Nhat Hanh, how you've been impacted by his teachings. I'd like intentionally for this to be quite open. Thank you for writing in. Thank you so much for this wonderful remembrance of the wonder that is Thay and his profound reach on so many lives far and wide. Thanks for the gentleness of the sit we just shared together. Thank you. And thank you. And again, I love that someone on the side mentioned, I think the words were sublime gentleness, a true strength of Thich Nhat Hanh's. So I would love to invite you, please, to come on screen with me. And if no one's ready to yet, of course I can prattle on. But it would be quite nice to share with you. Many of you know I trained in a monastic setting in which all the teachings arose in the moment that they were arising in. So exchanges were an opportunity for teachings to come forth, truly meeting not only the moment, but the person in the exchange. So Victoria, thanks for saying you'd like to come on screen. And Parker, looks like you'd be next after that. Thank you. It often takes just a moment for this to work, so please know, Caroline, I'm ready whenever you are. But while we're waiting, I was chatting with Caroline. Okay, thank you, Caroline. I was chatting with Caroline right before this about the January course that's available. Sangha Live made it available again, the New Year's course that I created some time ago. And I'm so delighted that it's being offered again. It's such a succinct way to stabilize with intention. And I'm very pleased with how that course turned out. Oh, thank you, Caroline, for dropping a link in the sidebar to that course. So it's at your own pace. It's very timely. This is the right time of year to do it. Although you really could do it anytime. Of course, we're making up time, so you could do it anytime. But especially for those who see the faulty nature of New Year's resolutions and the ways in which often such resolutions can reinforce the felt sense of a separate self. I love that this course invites us to dismantle that conditioning and have intention be a reflection of our deepest knowing. So please do check that course out, friends. Again, self-paced. So Victoria, it looks like you can't seem to come on screen. I'll let Caroline chat with you about that. And then Charlesley, I hope I'm saying your name right. Oh, awakening that has gone to the further shore, gone completely to the further shore. Amen. Okay, thank you, Victoria and Caroline are working this out. Yeah, thank you. I'll check the question box while I'm waiting for, looks like Parker's going to come on. When hearing the poetry of a Zen master and feeling the troubled texture of the relative world, I'm jarred by the tremendous gap. How can I better bridge the gap as I live each day? So Caroline, please bring Parker on whenever you're ready. While Sandy, I begin to address that question, I want to start by saying how important I think your question is. I'm a bit biased. I am in the final stages of writing a book that very much speaks to this question. I'm so honored that this book is going to be coming out this fall. And this question of reconciling the relative and the absolute are at the heart of this book, which will be titled The Heart of Who We Are, Realizing Freedom Together. So I haven't answered your question yet, but I'm just letting you know how alive it is for me. Because it's in my experience of living, sharing practice with others during this time, it's where most of us who practice are feeling a tremendous tension. So especially in times of such strain, which I don't know about everyone on this call, but I certainly feel surrounded by those, by people who are struggling a lot. Heightened conflicts, COVID, the list goes on and on. So this is the gap, I believe, that you refer to. And the bridge, building the bridge, in my experience, is what we're doing as we stabilize in our experience of being aware of being aware. So when we first come to practice, it's such a tremendous relief that we can be aware of thoughts, for example, and realize we are not those thoughts, or be aware of emotions and realize I am not that emotion. But as you hopefully felt in this meditation, we also have the capacity naturally, inherently, consciousness itself has the capacity to be aware of itself. So I believe that when we stabilize in that experience, when that refuge that isn't born and isn't dying, when that refuge becomes fully claimed and embodied as home. And embodies a key word, because we act on the relative plane through physical form. When that knowing is embodied, when we stabilize in that experience, that's when we can allow that experience to inform everything happening on the relative plane. Every difficulty we face, every strain, every hardship. And what appears to be a gap by the conditioned mind becomes smaller and smaller until we recognize that there actually has never been a difference. There's the appearance of difference, and that's valid. But in fact, even all relative experience is shining with the absolute, shining with this aware consciousness that, in the words of Zen Master Bankei, is unborn. I would love to see how that lands for you, Sandy, if you are up for coming on. And Parker can't seem to get on screen. Victoria, you seem to have the same issue right now. Okay, no worries. So again, I'll allow you all to work out the technical things, and I'll look to see if there's another question in the chat box. Okay, not yet. Friends, I would love to speak a bit more then about this closing of a gap. The larger the gap seems to us, the more identified we are with the conditioned mind that perceives the gap. from our direct experience of being aware of being aware, from the seat of presence, from a direct experience of being stable in the seat of presence, there is no gap. Another way we could say this, to draw upon Thich Nhat Hanh's teachings, is that we see true nature in everything, in everyone. We recognize that true nature isn't something that belongs to me and you, Caverly's true nature, Victoria's true nature, Caroline's true nature. True nature is this shared experience of presence, being aware of being aware. I see there's another comment here. Let me check in. Thank you. Caroline. Even the true nature of evil. Thank you for writing that, Caroline. This can be a very challenging place in practice for us. It's been a great koan for me for years. One way that I found it useful to practice with what I've historically labeled evil, or in the context of today, hatred, greed, and delusion, is to focus on the aspect of delusion. So in my experience, the more cut off I am, I feel, right? We can't actually be cut off from true nature because it's not something that goes anywhere, but we can certainly perceive that we are separate. We can certainly perceive that we're cut off from true nature. And as we perceive that we are separate, as we perceive that we are cut off from true nature, the greater the degree of the perception of separation, in my experience, the greater the capacity for harm, for acts on the relative plane that I sometimes refer to as breaches in the recognition of our shared being. A phrase that I first heard Rupert Spira use, breach in the recognition of our shared being. So it's like saying the sun never goes anywhere. But the thicker the clouds, the more veiled the sun's light can appear, can seem, so much so that it can seem that there is no sun at all. It's in that darkness that what we call evil arises. But that's not the same thing as saying that evil exists dualistically, that evil's the opposite of the inherent goodness that we're referring to here today, or true nature. Everything is shining with the same unborn mind. No thing could exist without it. Thank you for writing in. Next question. And I'm just going to check the sidebar. I'm guessing there's just, it's not working to come on screen. Okay. Posting questions in the box. Great. Trying again. Trying again. Victoria, I've invited you again. Caroline, thank you so much. I'm so sorry. There's some technical difficulties today with this. Yangchen, I hope I'm saying your name right. I don't wish to be on screen, but could you speak about emotions and the feeling and feeling the loss of him? Feeling the loss, I'm assuming you mean of Thich Nhat Hanh. I feel guilty for being emotional. I feel like I should be more at peace with his transition, but alas, I'm just so sad. Yangchen, so often in practice, we think that the issue, first of all, there's an issue with the fact that we think there's an issue, but we think that the issue is on a specific thought or on a specific emotion in your case. And so we get We when we're identified with the conditioned mind, we get into relationship with that emotion. Oh, I should be more at peace. Perhaps this sadness is uncalled for, or just the ego, I hear a lot of people say in spiritual circles. Therefore, it's deemed that there's something wrong with it. Victoria, I'm so glad you're here. I'll be right there. I'll just finish this one sentence here. But we don't realize that being in relationship with what's arising is where the suffering actually is. So suddenly judging, suddenly feeling separate from, that the true nature we're referring to today, home that we're referring to today, doesn't perceive itself as other than. And therefore, nothing that arises in it, in you, is separate. So pay very close attention to where the separation forms. In your case, I should be having a different experience, or this isn't okay, or I'm outside it. Welcome the sadness that is in you, made of you, not separate from you. Victoria, hi. I'm so glad this worked.
Thank you.
Oh, good. Now I can hear you. Yes, please.
Can you hear me? Okay. Yeah, I had to actually change everything, computers, a whole raft of things. So I feel like I've kind of lost the thread, but what I want to ask is so difficult to articulate in language that I thought I would be better off trying it verbally instead of writing it, but I don't know if that's true or not. We'll see what happens. It's actually about the body, and also it's about duality and non-duality, and this is not my body and I am not my body, and yet trying to accept the body. So I've always, since early childhood, had, interestingly enough, because I didn't know about it consciously until recently, had a sense of non-duality, of being interconnected with everything, and everything was the same. And that was actually what sort of saved me as a child, because I experienced a lot of trauma. But I always felt at one with nature, especially, and also with kind of my inner spiritual life, which was very strong even as a child. But as I got older, what I didn't realize as a child was that I was in total denial of having any kind of a body. And I used to tell people, I wish I were an angel and not a person, because then I could just, you know, I wouldn't have to worry about anything, eating or drinking or sleeping. And then as I got older, you know, it's only now looking back that I realized that it was a kind of dissociation situation. Yeah. It was because of the trauma. So now I'm sort of re-entering that whole sphere and trying to heal it and figure it out. So where I am right now, what this beautiful this poem by or prayer by Thich Nhat Hanh that you you recited during the sit suddenly brought up to me this kind of paradox between, because what I've been working on a lot during the pandemic is embodied practices and different kind of somatic practices. And I've participated in a lot of retreats online and things, trying to learn, you know, breathing and just the basics. And I feel like I'm making progress, but still a long, long way, because I've lived so many decades in my mind and in my heart, but without the body. So I guess what I am wondering is how to reconcile those now, because somehow what you read, it was like an enormous trigger. And I thought, oh, you know, how do I do that now? Because I'm so tempted to leave the body again all the time if I have some issue, like, you know, and someone wrote already in the question about illness and medications and things. And I understand that. So anyway, I'm talking too much, but I think you know what I'm talking about. So yes, it's how to reconcile. Yes, go ahead.
Caroline, I wonder just for a moment if we can mute Victoria so there won't be that echo. Okay, thank you. So Victoria, first, thank you. No, not speaking too much at all about this. I completely trust that many, many, including myself on this call, can relate to what you're describing. And I actually think it's quite important for us to give ourselves permission to fully articulate our experience, because it allows us to hear the nuances of what we're up against. And it's a gap of sorts. It's the gap that we were talking about just a bit ago. The gap that we're conditioned to perceive. And when we're identified with the conditioned mind, it feels like everything appears, we should say, as dualistic. So even though one way you, in a sense, survived your childhood, which I hear was quite traumatic, was to drop into a non-dual space in which you recognize that you are not this body, a duality formed out of that experience. I'm reflecting this back to you to see if this resonates as truth for you. So feel free to say, I'm not sure that's it. But what I'm projecting is that a duality formed, because then having a body was other than this non-dual state. It's almost like the body, I forget in this moment, I think St. Francis is the one that talked about the body as like brother ass or something. And it took him a long time to see that the body is not just this meat bag to hate that you're just dragging around, you know, it's not a burden. And we know that even the Buddha treated his body very, very badly for a very long period of time, because he recognized that I am not this body. Sri Ramana Maharshi meditated in caves for years. And actually at one point, like small critters were eating into his body, and other people had to support him in like coming back into his body. So this is a common spiritual conundrum for many of us. And I commend you for recognizing that that quote-unquote non-dual state isn't actually the completeness of recognition that we all long for. That it may be an important step on the way. Even on the relative plane, we can talk about disassociation as an important mechanism. For many, it's a form of survival. So it's not to be beaten up or diminished, but to recognize that it's not freedom is important. So I also commend your recognition that having practices about embodiment are very important right now for you. I would simply caution you that as you do practices that focus on embodiment, you're not reinforcing the story that your body is separate from all of it is, because sometimes that's the way we experience coming back into the body. Okay, here I am. So I am this body. I know I have something to ground into because I am here. And there's a certain benefit that can come from that kind of mindful recognition. But to confuse that means that your body is not, I'll say it in the positive because that might be confusing if I say it in the negative. It becomes very important to recognize that even the body is not separate from pure consciousness. The body itself is made of pure consciousness. The ego likes to hide out in the body in the forms of constriction, knots of tension. And that's how it takes shape or hold or form. That's how we have that felt sense of I am separate. But this stabilizing in true nature, stabilizing in the recognition of being aware, we can include the body. We can recognize the body as made of the same awareness that we would acknowledge we're experiencing. It's made of consciousness, therefore not separate. So it's interesting timing for me, Victoria, because in this book I made reference to that I'm working on, I referred to the body of consciousness. So yes, recognizing the physical experience of being in this form, while also allowing ourselves as a practice to use that as a gateway of recognizing the way in which the body itself is made of the same suchness that every thought is, every emotion is. So we can fully embody being here in this form while recognizing the emptiness of this form, while releasing into the way in which they're not separate. Tell me now, please, Victoria, what arises for you when I offer that? What comes up for you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. Oh, technology. It's profound what you're saying, and I know it's exactly right because I felt it in my body while you're talking, and in my intellect. It was like I got a shiver. You know how you get a shiver when something strikes you profoundly? Mm-hmm. And that in itself is fascinating because I never realized that was the kind of, in itself, a kind of non-dualistic realization. Like it, as you were speaking, it was like it went through me physically as well as intellectually. So yeah,
Go. I'm just so excited because there's no difference. It's very hard for us in practice to really get that because the physical form seems so real to us. It can be easier to say, well, this thought form isn't real. How do I know? It's not even here in the next moment. It just came and went through the open sky of awareness like a cloud passing through. But it can be more believable to the conditioned mind that there's a particular reality to the body because it feels so solid to us.
Can I?
Please.
Oh, hello. Oh, okay.
Yes.
I just wanted to say, not only is this really profound, and I think I can spend the rest of my life working on this. Thank you. But also, suddenly I had this beautiful insight that this is the perfect day and moment to talk about this, because this is exactly what Thich Nhat Hanh, I think, was teaching the world, this unity, and just flashing back to the one experience I had with him personally, this unification of all of the of body and mind, like I said, sort of tongue in cheek, but it was true actually in this chat, of teaching me how to eat, teaching me how to walk, teaching me even how to take a nap. It was amazing. I mean, this was in the context, you know, of a retreat. And thank you so much for making this space today to honor him, because I did learn it then, and then I forgot it. So thank you for the reminder. It's so profound. And I feel like that, if we all could do that, that would be, it would heal the world, really. So it's something to keep working on. So thank you.
You know, I really want to thank you, Victoria, because that insight that you just shared is truly, yes, I believe, what could heal the world. What you're describing is stabilizing in your experience of your deepest knowing, your knowing of true nature, and allowing that experience to then be embodied. That's what Thich Nhat Hanh was referring to with engaged Buddhism. Now we can act in the world on behalf of this deep knowing. And we start by walking, by washing the dish, by taking a nap, by having mindful speech that is infused with my knowing of our shared being. Your speech with me, your sharing with this global community is arising on behalf of your knowing, on behalf of your taste of true nature. That's healing speech. Now, what changes when we hold that in our awareness in every conversation? It's a practice, isn't it? We all know those conversations where it's going to be more difficult to hold that awareness, to stay with it, right? Where we're going to get triggered. And then we're going to feel separate. And then our speech is going to be on behalf of the separation, not on behalf of our deepest knowing. So, Victoria, thank you for sharing your insight and the way that Thich Nhat Hanh has impacted you. And thank you for using the word honoring. Friends, I do see that we just have a minute. Thank you, Victoria. I see that we just have a minute left. And I do want to just use this word honoring again, wanting to focus on honoring the teachings of Thich Nhat Hanh, and invite you to close your eyes for half a minute or so and offer any kind of gratitude, thank you, blessing out into the world that you'd like to offer. A blessing that's on behalf of Thich Nhat Hanh's teachings, what you've received, how your heart has been touched. Or again, if you came to this call today and it's new for you to learn about Thich Nhat Hanh, perhaps how anything that was shared today by a participant, by me, anything that touched you, if something did, saying thank you, receiving. and then offering back out into the world this gratitude. As you heard, I have a January course through Sangha Live I'd love to share with you if you're interested. For those that want to be in person with me, my next retreat is this summer on Whidbey Island, a deeply lovely place. Registration on my website, CaverlyMorgan.org, will be happening soon. If you have anyone in your life for age 9 through 109, I do... I love sharing this kid's book that I wrote with friends. So check it out if you haven't. And thanks for hearing about my book that will come out in the fall, The Heart of Who We Are, Realizing Freedom Together. I offer my sincere apologies that I did not get to every question in the box, but I offer a weekly meditation group. You can see the details on my website if you'd like to bring your question there. It's very intentionally put at a time of the day that works well globally. Thank you, friends. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your practice. Thank you for your care. Thank you for offering the merits of that out into the world. Until soon.